asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing Prime Day Reprise, subversive subscriptions, and moving for money.
You know, buddy, this is our Friday flight where we are going to go over some of our favorite stories that we came across this week. The stories that we want you to pay attention to because they have a direct impact on your personal finances. Mm-hmm. And this isn't quite a story, but I saw that I got a question for you following this as well. But 35% of households still have a landline.
Oh, wow.
Which it's obviously it's been declining ever since they started keeping track of this maybe a decade or two ago. But do you remember the last time have you ever lived in a home or an apartment where you had a landline?
Only in the home my parents owned back in the day.
I was curious because as I was thinking through this, I remembered. So ever since Kate and I have been together, we've never paid for a phone. But when I was in college, yep. We had a landline. Andrew, our one roommate, insisted that we really should have a landline. And so it was a bill that we split four ways every single month.
Cell phones were still a little fresh back then, right?
They were fresh, but even still.
And more expensive, too.
Nobody used the stupid landline. It was just sort of like this thing that almost seemed like a blankie. like just in case the grid goes down or something like that, we can still make a phone call.
When you look at what's happened with prices of landlines, they've just continued to go up, but prices of cell phone service have just continued to go down. So I guess I understand why some people might want that security blanket still having a landline.
Maybe that was the case back then.
But I guarantee you there's still a lot of people paying for one who might be realizing right now, wait a second, yeah, I am paying that bill every month, and it's been a few years since I've even used mine, and plus I don't even remember my phone number for the landline anymore. I bet there's some people who fall into that camp who could easily just kind of call up and cancel tomorrow.
You know what's funny? Something else a buddy of mine mentioned recently, he said, okay, when your kids say that they're going to talk on the phone, how do they hold their hand to their head to indicate that they're talking on the phone? And he pointed out that basically all of our kids, when they hold a phone up to their head, they either put their hand up like it's an iPhone or like it's a smartphone, or they hold it like you're holding a little brick, as opposed to the pinky thumb extension, which
funny.
Is...
I feel like my kids are used to video calling, so they're kind of like flashing in front of their face kind of thing.
They just hold it out in front like they're either on speakerphone phone or on FaceTime or something like that. Yeah. But just, yeah, another indicator that we're getting older, man. We might be the last generation who speaks into their pinky and listens through their thumb.
Yeah. It's kind of old school.
Not something I had thought of before.
Just like the landline. If you're out there listening and you're like, wait a second, I don't use it and I do have one, man, it's time to get rid of it. But I can't imagine that 35% of How to Money listeners still have a landline hanging around. I gotta imagine it's a much smaller segment, but
I'm guessing so.
Yeah. Well, let's move on, Matt. Let's get to all the interesting stories we found fascinating this week in the realm of personal finance, because there's a lot of stuff that impacts how you spend, save, and invest in today's episode. And you know what the world really doesn't need, Matt, but it's getting anyway?
Payphones.
Yeah, we don't need payphones anymore.
Okay.
But we also don't need another Amazon Prime Day.
Oh.
However, they feel compelled to give us one. And this is happening in a couple of weeks on October 11th and 12th. Amazon and other retailers, apparently, they're thinking that inflation and the slowing economy is going to curb holiday spending. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to get us to spend earlier than usual. I think that's what this second Prime Day is all about. They don't want us to wait until the days before Christmas because they think we're going to spend less at that point, and or maybe just forget to buy gifts at all.
They just want to clear out those warehouses.
That's
because
right.
they've got all these goods just sitting there and nobody is buying them.
That's right. Yeah, because the supply chains are kind of back online for a lot of those major retailers. They've got more stuff than they planned on having. And it's Walmart and Target, they've announced similar efforts to front load holiday sales. Target said holiday deals are going to start by October 6th in Target stores. So I guess my question is this a good thing or a bad thing? I think of it as kind of being both. It's kind of like a double-edged sword because more deals can cause us to buy more stuff that we don't necessarily need. That's bad and can inhibit our ability to reach other financial goals we have.
That's right.
But on the other side, shopping early for holiday presents that you're planning to buy anyways can save you money, right? So there's that perk.
Yeah, if you were already planning to make certain purchases, if these were going to be gifts and things that you're going to buy anyway, that could save you a lot of money and also allow you to enjoy the holidays a bit more, too, I think. You know, like you could be a touch more present if you're not thinking about presents.
Wow, I see what you did there. Impressive.
Presents over presents. you know what I'm saying there. And so we would recommend for folks to make a list now of the folks that you want to buy gifts for this year. Create a budget, you know, stick to that list of items that you're considering getting for them. Don't be afraid to shop the sales, but do stick to your list. Personally, I think I enjoy having a little bit more time. I wish gift giving was like a part of like more of my day to day where I'm thinking about it more often, but oftentimes I'm not. But yeah, again, in previous years, supply chains were a reason that some of these holiday sales were starting sooner than later. This year, it seems like it's going to be inflation. But either way, we want to make sure that you are spending your dollars wisely. Joel, let's switch from spending to saving money. There was a great article on CNBC about super savers. We typically think of super savers as like somebody who's saving at least 50% of their income. But CNBC, they were referring to it as folks who were funneling 15% or more of their income into a work-sponsored retirement account like a 401k. And so you might be having like the knee-jerk reaction that I did. It must be nice to be a loaded dink household, you know, like you've got an engineering degree. Oh, you've got a job as an attorney.
Yeah, saving 15% is still like a far off goal for a lot of people when it comes to their what they want to invest.
And 15%, it's a lot. It's a lot less than 50%. But those are folks who are on these like crazy paths towards FIRE where they're looking to retire in just a few years. Not what most folks are looking to achieve. But that being said, as I read this article, I found out that it's actually not what the stats show. It's not the kind of folks who were considered super savers. Not all of them are loaded. Some folks in the survey were making as little as $35,000 every year, and they were still able to sock away such a high percentage of their income every month. I think that's incredibly cool. And the way that they were doing it were just through some like basic frugal means of living. Some of the stats they shared were that 48% of these folks drove older vehicles, 39% don't travel as much as they'd like to, 39% also clean their own homes, and 38% of folks attempt to DIY most things. All of these things sound 100% up our alley.
Yeah. And kind of basic, really.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also the path to socking away tons of money into retirement. It's not rocket science. But being able to save more typically involves just some of these small trade-offs that we face almost day to day in our lives. But what we need to keep in mind is the flexibility and the independence that you're able to achieve are going to be well worth it. There's nothing wrong with having a massive income, with having a fat paycheck rolling in all the time. But this just goes to show that you don't have to have that in order to not only be a super saver, but to also achieve some sort of sense of financial freedom down the road.
Yeah. To me, that was the most comforting thing, because I know there are a lot of people out there on small incomes. It makes me think of our conversation recently with Sarah, the budget girl, and she is crushing it on what a lot of people would say is a small income. What she's been able to achieve, all those little things matter a whole lot, especially the smaller income that you have going on. So it's fun to be able to see people at that end of the income spectrum still able to save and invest that much. And Matt and I, we would say 15% is the minimum that people should be seeking to save and invest. Paying yourself first, right? Socking away at least 15% of what you have into your savings accounts and investment accounts is an important goal to strive for. Ultimately, we want people to be able to save and invest more than that, an even higher percentage, but 15 is our kind of bare minimum we want folks shooting for. And on the note of saving more, Matt, Bloomberg, they had a great article this week backing up something that you and I, we've been saying on the show for years, that online banks are the best banks. And it's not even close. The main takeaway from this article was that the average rate on savings accounts in the country is a paltry 0.13%. But there are some banks out there offering rates north of 2.5%. And the reality is that rates are vastly superior with the online banks. But so are the customer service and additional perks too. So if you're banking with one of the big banks, they're likely paying you 0.01% on savings. Like we're talking about Wells Fargo, Bank of America, those guys. So please, please ditch them in favor of one of the much better, vastly superior online banks. Marcus, Ally, CIT, and Discover are just a few of our favorites. We'll link to an article outlining how to switch banks effectively in the show notes, because I know sometimes that is what feels like a pain. It's like, oh, do I really have to do this adulting thing and change banks and change all my financial transactions to come out of this account? Yes, yes you do, but it's not as big of a lift as you think it is. And to get paid more on your money is a great thing, but it's also nice to do business with a bank that doesn't completely suck at the same time.
Yeah, I will say personally, it's been nice seeing the amount that I'm earning in interest every month from my high yield savings account increase steadily every single month. Mm-hmm. That has also been very nice. That's not something that anybody with the big traditional brick and mortar banks, they're not experiencing that.
No.
But I am. come on over to the bright side.
The water's fine.
Okay, let's talk about those subversive subscriptions, because it turns out that on average we underestimate how much we pay monthly for the different recurring subscriptions in our life, and not by a small amount, but by a significant amount. There is a C&R research paper recently, and they found out that most folks have almost no clue about what they pay for various subscriptions each and every month. Almost none of the folks who participated in the survey were 100% accurate. Like, pretty much everybody missed the mark.
Yeah, by at least a little.
Yeah, if not a significant amount. Over half, 54% of folks, undershot how much they spend every month on subscriptions by over $100, and the average amount that they were off was by something like $133. Of that amount, there was 11% who were off by more than $300, which is like mind-blowing. It's so much money.
It's like, how much do you spend on subscriptions? I don't know, $20. Sorry, actually, you spent $450. It's like, how could you be that far off?
That's closer to the truth than you realize. There's just this massive gap between like what we think we're paying and what we're actually shelling out, and it's clearly going to have an impact on our finances in large part because this isn't just a single expense. These are recurring expenses. This happens every single month. If you're talking about $300 over the course of a year, you're $3,600. That is a ton of money. And folks are wondering, where can I find the money to, well, it's like, oh, I've got an HSA, but how am I supposed to fund it? Right there. Yeah. Maybe those subscriptions that maybe you're not getting value from it. Maybe you are. But if you're not, this is something we want you to revisit. Pay attention to the money that is automatically leaving your account every month.
Yeah. These subversive subscriptions, Matt, they make me think of like a boat that's got tiny little leaks that are kind of hard to see. And that's the thing is like, that's what they're counting on when you sign up is that you're going to forget about it, but you're going to keep paying because it's on autopilot. And you're going to be out money every month, but at the same time, you might forget about that subscription. You might not be getting value from it. And apparently, 38% of folks say that subscriptions are making them crazy because they're hard to keep track of. They're literally adding stress to people's lives rather than relieving it, which is often the promise of so many subscription services.
That's right.
3/4 of folks say they're easy to forget about, which is true. That's why people are paying them, right? Every single month, like clockwork. And they're forgetting that they even have access to whatever it is, whether it's a streaming service or whether it's some sort of relationship with an apparel company, it's an Amazon subscribe and save, like whatever it is, people are signing up, forgetting about it, and still paying for
That's right.
So we would say it's time to cull your subscriptions. I literally did that just this week because we had GoHenry, which helps teach our kids about finances. Mm-hmm. But I realized, wait a second, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it was good helping my girls learn some lessons, but I want to go back to the physical, tangible approach with dollars. And so I'm like, listen, this is a subscription that I'm paying for. It's costing me money too. So I canceled, and now I've got that one out of my life. And so if you don't track your expenses, that's where you got to start. You got to find out where your money is going, whether that's using a basic spreadsheet or something like Mint. You know, those subscription services are nefarious because it's so easy to forget about them. And this weekend would be a great time to start canceling stuff you're not actually using, to kind of start finding those leaks in the ship so you can start plugging them up.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think most folks share the same sort of, they don't get the same high that we do when we find missing money, when we find ways to keep. It's like a slow bleed, you know, like we're, like you said, well, you're talking about a boat, but like you're just slowly bleeding out, and these are resources that you could easily regain.
See, I think this is a fun game. I think it's fun to spot these dollars and be like, wait a second, yeah, you're right, I was way underestimating mine, just like the rest of these people in the survey, and now guess what, I'm going to find these things, I'm going to plug the leaks, and I'm going to bring $120 a month back into my life or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's a significant amount of money that then you could be spending in a more intentional way.
We just have to find a way to make it more fun. People would do it if, like, there has to be some sort of, like, mental shift, some sort of trick that takes place. I mean, we've talked a lot about subscriptions, streaming services in particular, over the past few months. But earlier this week or last week, I finally canceled Netflix. I had been hanging on to it because I still hadn't finished Stranger Things. Uh-huh. But since I did, I was like, okay, finally, that's one I can cut. And I was paying a lot, man, because... Yeah. I splurged on that ultra high def.
I bet you did, fancy pants.
$20 a month. But I was willing to pay that for a short amount of time. And so we want you to have different subscriptions in your life that are bringing you value, that you are aware of. But once they are not bringing you value anymore, be choosy. We want you to cut those things from your life. And like you said, Joel, being aware of those subscriptions is the first thing. And it's tough to be aware if you're not tracking your expenses, if you're not keeping up with where it is your money's going.
Yep, agreed. So, all right, cut some of those sneaky, subversive subscriptions out of your life, and then you'll have more money to put towards things that matter more to you.
Yep.
All right, Matt, we've got more stuff to cover on the Friday flight, including getting paid to move somewhere. And we've got some tips about how to save money on car insurance. We'll get to both of those and more right after this. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. And now a word from the show sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry, Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again. Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Spring cleaning is kind of an annual rite of passage. We've all got to do it, minimize the junk that we have in our house. Emily and I, we just cleaned our closets out. It took hours, but it was so worth it. Now we've only got stuff in there that we love, and it's easier to find everything too. And so, you know, while cleaning your closets is helpful, well, there's something else you can do for your family this spring. Shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius, for example, is a really important part of your financial planning for the year.
That's right. Yeah. And here is the thing that's important to remember, because you might be thinking you don't need to check out Policy Genius because you've got a policy through work. But even if you have a life insurance policy through your job, it may not offer you enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, and that means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to PolicyGenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000-plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/howtomoney.
All right, we are back from the break. Joel, you just teased to some of the different ways to save when it comes to car insurance. We're also going to discuss maybe what's quite possibly going to be the most affordable electric vehicle out there that a lot of people are going to potentially be able to afford, depending on where you are in your life with your finances. But first, we've got to get to our ludicrous headline of the week. We just kind of went off on subscriptions. Well, now let's give the buy now, pay later industry some hate for a second here. This one comes from The Times, and it reads, "Marry now, pay later. New services put weddings on installment." Basically, anything that you can buy, I feel like it's going to be whatever that, pay later. Because we did like give now, pay later a few weeks ago.
Makes me think of that Tommy Boy scene where he gets to the office and he's talking to his dad, and he's like, "I can keep six packs of soda in here." Is that anything you want to keep cold, Tommy Boy? And it's truly, it's like anything you want to put on a payment plan, Tommy Boy. Like, you really can.
Anything that you can spend money on, you could do it later. This new upstart called Maru, I guess that's how you say it. It's M-A-R-O-O. They are allowing folks to pay for their wedding services over time. And the average cost of a wedding is closing in on $30,000. And so because of that, like, I get the temptation. I get the desire to want to defer some of that pain of all that money leaving your account. But you also don't want to start off your new life of wedded bliss deep in a debt hole. You know, like, it's not even that we're not against spending a lot of money on your wedding day. It's a party worth splurging on. And I would honestly even be okay with folks doing this if they were paying for it and making the payments on the front end, because that's traditionally how it worked. You book a vendor, you put down a deposit, and then typically on the day of the wedding, so like before things even really kick off, you pay the balance. And so if this is just like a new fintech type way for you to accomplish this, I'm all for that.
Yeah, but but this is delaying those payments out
exactly
the year after your wedding.
And that's the problem, because the truth is that buy now, pay later, it allows and actually kind of like prods people to spend more than they otherwise would. And so not only is it a delayed payment, they're also putting more, they're spending more on their wedding. Stats show that folks often spend more than they otherwise would if buy now, pay later is offered at checkout. In retail scenarios, it's typically like 30 to 50% more. I've got to think that with weddings, it's probably something really similar. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it might sound old school, but just finding ways to cut costs and save more money on the front end, we think that that is a much better move than utilizing the buy now, pay later industry.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of people who, if you're paying it out over the year after that, yeah, if you can pay something out over 12 months, you're typically going to get the nicer food choice or the more experienced photographer or whatever. Like, you're just going to opt for nicer stuff if you don't have to come up with the cash on the front end. And you might be able to rationalize it saying that it's, you know, one of the most important days of your life. But you can rationalize a lot of things with that sort of mentality. Mm-hmm. And so we would say, yeah, saving up more on the front end is, it matters. It's important. And, you know, one other alternative to using buy now, pay later, by the way, is to ask your wedding guests to give you cash instead of presents. And apparently a lot more folks are doing this. They're using their wedding registry to ask for cash instead of pots and pans or whatever. You know, getting dish towels and silverware, I guess, can be helpful. But especially as folks are getting married later in life, Matt, I think, you know, they've often had to purchase some of those items on their own. And so they're saving up for bigger things like down payments or a honeymoon fund. And I think it's cool that people can and are asking for cash instead of physical consumer goods.
Yeah, when you get married, when Kate and I got married, like literally we're basically like kids. Like I didn't have bath towels. Like when I got out of the shower, I was drying off with like a big dish rag.
You're basically a Neanderthal.
I get it when you're younger.
Completely uncivilized.
You literally don't have some of these items, but I think that's a great point. In particular, as folks are established, they've been out of school oftentimes for like a decade. Not only do they have all of their history, their habits, they've got their stuff and they don't necessarily need new items when they get married.
Yeah. And I think this is becoming less of like a rude thing, like to ask for cash. I think it's just becoming more common and we're seeing less of a negative reaction from guests. But I do want to say, I think how you go about asking for cash is important because there's a way to do it
totally
that can offend your guests and there's a way to do it that can actually get them really enthusiastic about giving you cash. I would say the key, one of the main keys is to tell people what it is that you're saving for. So instead of being like, throw cash, like, let's get my savings account bank. So
yo, give me all the money.
So I can do whatever it is I want.
How you shouldn't ask for it.
Right. It gets them more excited to send you money if you have specific, like, things you're saving for that you can call out and ask them to donate to. And what's cool is there's this site called Zola that can help you make that cash giving experience a bit more pleasant for people who are attending your wedding. And the awesome thing is there's going to be zero fee when your guests choose to send money. They can choose to send via credit card and that'll be a 2.5% fee, or they can choose to send with Venmo and it'll be zero fee for you or for the person who's attending your wedding.
And who doesn't have Venmo?
And I got to tell you, man, I would be more than happy if someone's like, they've got these buckets broken out. Hey, this is what we're saving for.
I mean, it's just like a registry, right?
Yes,
like
exactly.
You're pitching. It's like, okay, it's a dinnerware set of 12. Oh my gosh, they need 12 place settings. Okay, we're going to go in and you decide, and you always would kind of throw your money towards the thing that brings value to you, right? You know, and so you're like, oh, they totally need to have this. In the same way, you could do that with what you're donating to, what it is that you're, you know, whatever specific buckets that you're looking to fill for them.
If you're excited to help fund the down payment or to fund the honeymoon fund, either way, it's just kind of, it's more fun for the guest to get to participate in that way, but it's also nicer for the recipient, for the couple who's getting married, because now they've got more options as opposed to having to like return and sort through a bunch of physical items.
I think that's the thing is having options. And I think that's why maybe in other countries, like if you are of foreign descent and you go to like a foreign wedding, it's pretty typical to receive cash. Like Asian weddings, Nigerian weddings, money, cash, checks, red envelopes that are given to couples. It's a huge part of the culture there. But I think there's something about Americans and wanting to have say over what it is that you're giving them. Mm-hmm. And as Americans, when we just give cash, it feels like we're being limited as the gift giver. But like you said, if it feels like there is some sort of autonomy, some sort of liberty, which is a very American word, it changes the game. And I think that can allow folks to give a little more freely and
honestly,
to be more accepted.
As the gift giver, I would be thrilled thrilled because
it's easy.
I have to do far less due diligence. I'm just like, cool. Yeah, I'll drop $100 here or whatever it is for the experience that you're interested in creating.
Yeah. And it doesn't even have to be like these big things where like a down payment. In the article, there's some folks that they're talking about. They created buckets for like something as small as date nights.
Yeah.
Or even just traveling abroad, which I'm like, man, that's awesome. Yep. Like those are the kind of things that I would love to see prioritized more. Those experiences, those memories that you're building together as opposed to, you know, bone china, like some really nice stuff that you can buy at Bed Bath & Beyond. But let's keep on working through our Friday flight, Joel. Let's get to that moving for money headline that we mentioned at the top of the episode. More folks are considering moving because they are getting paid to do it. We've actually talked about some U.S. towns who are paying millennials to move there. This is maybe, was this sort of like back in the middle of the pandemic, I think. You might remember when we talked about how Northwest Arkansas, how they were offering folks $10,000 as well as a free bike back in 2020.
That got my attention.
Well, anytime there's a free bike involved.
I was like, wait a second. Should I be doing this?
Apparently, the Italian island of Sardinia, they're now prepared to pay folks $15,000 to move there.
Ooh, up in the ante.
Plus, you can say that, yeah, I live in Italy. But that being said, it's always important to read the fine print because you're going to have to become a full-time resident. This isn't just like where you summer. You got to live there full-time, and it's got to be in the super small town that has like less than 3,000 residents. And then also, you have to use that money to renovate a home there. And so we thought this was pretty cool because if you're looking for a big change of scenery, this could be, you know, a fun, maybe a lucrative way to make it happen. I would like to think that if I was in a different stage of life, that I would be willing to take on an adventure like this. But also, knowing myself, I probably wouldn't have. Yeah, I like the idea of it more than the reality of actually doing something
agreed.
Like that.
Yes, same here. But I'm also set in my ways at this point in time. And so I'm not going to go on this Italian adventure. But I think there are a lot of other people who might say, you know what? I'm super flexible. I am up for an adventure. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to go do something like this. I bet some of those Italian villas in Sardinia are pretty cheap.
It's got
to
be.
You get that $15,000 to put towards some renos. You get this cool, sweet spot that doesn't cost you very much. And you're in this. Yeah, I don't think I could live in a tiny town like that. That would be the hardest part for me. But it's interesting to see some of these things pop up. I saw something else pop up. And this yogurt company is paying someone $50,000 to move to Iceland. Although it's kind of like for a job as well. Like you got to be like their social media manager and take photos and stuff like
right.
that. But these are the kind of fun things that, I don't know, I could see myself being excited about, being interested in, at least in my early or mid-20s.
Fulfill your cheap Nordic houses fantasy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Don't forget about the taxes, though. That's the catch there. It's like, oh, you could buy this villa. Oh, you can buy this house on this fjord for $87,000, and it's got this incredible view, but it's not the heat. It's the humidity. It's not the price of the house. It's the taxes associated with living in Norway, Sweden, Iceland.
Getting to that remote area, I'm sure, is not cheap every time you want a summer there or whatever, too.
Sure.
Well, and Matt, let's just say you don't want to move to one of these places, but you'd like to visit them. What do you need anytime you want to travel somewhere? You got to have a passport, right? And what is one of the biggest pain in the butts in the world? Getting your passport renewed. I've never talked to anybody who's in the middle of that process who's like, it was a breeze and it was so simple and it only took like a few days or a week or so to get my passport back. No, typically it's weeks and weeks and weeks. It's a lot of paperwork and it's a huge hassle. But online passport renewal, fortunately, seems like it's going to become a thing at the beginning of 2023, according to the U.S. State Department. We'll let you guys know when it officially launches, but this is great news for travelers because it's going to cut down on paperwork and frustration, which typically accompany getting that passport renewed. You can do basically anything online now, man. I even got my driver's license updated online with my new address. Yeah,
nice.
It was free. It was easy, but this needs to happen. And I'm so glad that it's going to happen soon.
All right. We recently discussed how expensive electric vehicles are getting. We love the idea of them, but fact is, more and more, it's looking like it's only the privileged, those who are in the most, I don't know, it feels like the upper echelons who can actually afford electric vehicles.
It's expensive.
It is. Prices are rising quickly, in particular as battery costs are rising super fast. The average price of an electric vehicle is going up 5 times faster than its gas-powered counterpart. But there's always an exception to the rule. And that exclusion is now the brand new electric Chevy Equinox. And the base model, when this puppy is released next year, it could cost as little as $22,500 after tax credits.
Not too shabby.
That's super awesome, I think. So we shared this. We wanted to share this because if you're in the market for an EV, but you found that it's just like too freaking expensive to make the jump, the Equinox is likely going to be just a frugal car buying win for a lot of folks once it launches. Keep an eye out for that one.
Yeah, we need more inexpensive electric vehicles because so many of the vehicles being produced in that space are high end. They're luxury cars. And they're really expensive. So I'm glad to see somebody prioritizing. And it seems like Chevrolet is the only car manufacturer right now really prioritizing cheaper electric vehicles, and that's the only way we're going to get the mass adoption. But
I think it's just difficult for them to justify, well, how are we going to make an electric vehicle that also doesn't have electric windows? Everything's going to run off of electricity. It's going to be fully digital. It's virtually the most powerful computer that you're going to own once and if you buy a new electric vehicle.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's talk about car insurance costs, Matt, while we're talking about cars, because that's something else that's been going up in cost. And the average car insurance policy went up something like 8.3% over the past year. And predictions are showing that costs are likely to rise another 10% next year. And we figured it would make sense to deliver, I don't know, our semi-annual reminder that folks can potentially save a ton of money by shopping insurance rates with a variety of different providers. This is a case where being a loyal customer actually works against you. So, I don't know, let's talk about a couple of ways that people can save. If you're one of those folks out there listening, you're living the HTM life to the fullest, driving an older car, you might actually be overinsured. We would say that opting for liability coverage only, it could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing worth considering. Also, raising your deductible is another great way to lower your premiums. You can do that for your homeowner's insurance too, which can be a double whammy, saving you big bucks. Also, get pesky when you're asking about additional discounts with your agent. I took a safe driving test online, Matt, at AARP's website. Even though I'm still a young pup, anybody can take this test, and a lot of insurance companies will count it. It took a couple hours of my time, cost me $25, and it has saved me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars over the years. Basically, what we're saying too is just to self-insure more. The more you can have in savings, the higher you can raise those deductibles, like the more opportunity you have to save on your insurance costs.
That's right. And with savings rates that banks are paying now better than they've ever been, it's not quite as painful to leave some of that extra money sitting there within your savings account.
Especially when you're saving hundreds of dollars a year on those insurance costs, man. It's a win-win.
Yeah. And by the way, actually, seeing what just happened down in Florida, our hearts go out to all the folks down there with all the flooding, all the damage that Hurricane Ian has caused. But that being said, this should be a great reminder for all of us to actually check out our insurance coverage. It turns out only like 18.5% of folks who were in the evacuated counties down there in Florida had flood insurance. Man, which is going to add financial hurt to the hurricane aftermath for many folks. This is a difficult note to strike, right? Because on one hand, we want you to save as much money as possible. In particular, like Joel said, if you have an older car, if you are self-insured. But on the other hand, if there is a type of insurance that you should have and you're skipping out, well, that's an example of not being frugal, but we think of being cheap. Yeah. And so you kind of have to find a way to ride that line to balance the risk that we all face in our lives. It kind of takes me back to like the subscriptions. We need to be aware of the money that we're spending, because if there is value that we're receiving from it, then that's great. If there is some risk that is being taken off of your plate by a certain insurance product, fantastic. But we don't want you to stay subscribed to something where there's this recurring charge for an insurance product where you're not getting any value from. Yeah. We want everyone out there to be conscious consumers of the different things within their life.
Yeah, insurance is just kind of a necessary thing to have in a lot of instances in modern life. And it can be something like, as you become more financially successful, it's something you might have to allocate more dollars to. For instance, you might have to buy more term life insurance, let's say, as your income rises and as you have more assets that now require a more robust insurance policy. And so these are the kind of things that we have to think about. Seeing a stat like that, Matt, just made me really sad, because there's a lot of people who are going to have lost a lot and now they don't have any insurance to back back them up. Mm. And flood insurance is one of those particular things that you have to get through FEMA, through the federal government. And it, a lot of people think they're covered by their homeowner's insurance.
But they're not.
But they're not.
Yeah. And that flood insurance through FEMA is not as affordable as it used to be either. So it's you're in a tough spot, because would you actually be able to cover the cost of completely rebuilding your house were it to flood out? And in most cases, folks don't. But then they're also looking at that price tag, that $1,000 annual premium that they're having to pay, and they're really feeling hard pressed to actually find the money to make that happen.
Sure. Yeah. It's a tough spot, but if we're going to make big purchases like a home, we have to include all those costs we talk about on the show too. And if you are in a area that's flood prone, flood insurance is one of those things that's a must have, despite the fact that it's not as cheap as it used to be. But yeah, Matt, we actually have a couple of hurricane refugees. Emily's mom and stepdad staying with us right now. Mm-hmm. And we just wish the best to everybody down in Florida and on the coast too, of South Carolina and Georgia. So hopefully everybody stays safe out there. We hope you guys have a great weekend. And Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com. When it comes to your finances, go for the credit card that's always there for you. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We're talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.